Everybody say, I'm ready to receive.
I'm ready to receive.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a hard attitude. Hallelujah. This is not a spectator sport. What we get out this morning has so much to do with what you pull. Amen. We've been in a series for a few weeks now called The Spirit of Victory. We're in part four. I encourage you, if you didn't hear the first three parts, go back and listen to them on the web. That's what they're there for. We cannot cover all the ground that we already covered, but we've been laying a foundation to go forward here. Look on your sheet there. We'll just, for the sake of time, we're just going to look at a few scriptures on your sheet. We're going to review a few things, and then we're going to go forward to the next part here. 2 Corinthians 2:14, look at that on your sheet. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God who, what? Always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. Look at the God's Word translation there on your sheet. It says, but I thank God who always leads us in victory because of Christ. He always leads us in victory. What does always mean?
Always.
It means always. You know, except for maybe one or two tough times, right? When it's really challenging and you know it's really pressure.
No.
You're really stressed, and so this time you don't know. You may not make it.
No.
Is that what that means?
No.
Always. Always means
always.
There are no exceptions to always. Always does not mean there are exceptions, that once in a while it doesn't happen. That's not what it means. We may use it loosely. God does not. God says what He means. He means what He says. The Word is the Word. If you'll take the Word as God speaking to you, your life will change. There are places where the Bible uses figurative speech. This is not one of them. When He says always, He means always. Well, that would include everything that we may be going through right now, everything we're going to go through, and everything in the past. Maybe you didn't see things come out right, but that wasn't God's will, that wasn't His best, and it didn't have to turn out like that. Did I lose somebody? You say, well, this happened and this happened, so we got to get past that. We got to get the idea, the mindset that we're going to win. Even if something looks like you lost, you get back up and say, no, I'm going to win.
Amen.
This is not the end.
Right.
We're going to keep playing until I win.
Amen.
That's a different mindset. And that's what we're talking about. He always causes us to triumph. Look at a couple more on your sheet. We may come back to these other ones, but just wanted several of them together with this idea, kind of setting the stage. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. He gives us victory. That's not a Christian easy word. Don't use it. Well, I just have the victory. You know, people do stuff. Yeah, that might be true, but it's not weird. When you have the victory, that means you win. That means you triumph and not in some side game. That means in life. We win. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory because the spirit of God is the spirit of victory. God does not lose. Ever. Ever.
Amen.
There is no equal to our Lord.
Amen.
He's in a class by Himself. There is no being in the universe that is even worth talking about that's in the same level. There are not equal and opposite sides in the good and evil. You may see a lot of movies and books and ideas that show, you know, good and evil being the flip side of the same coin. And somehow, you know, they come against each other and it's just this struggle and sometimes evil wins and sometimes good, but you know, it's really close. That's not real. Satan is a created being. God is the Almighty.
Amen.
Satan tried to take out God. Look how that turned out. He took a third of the angels. What were they thinking? Pride will deceive you. Pride will blind you. He thought he was going to take out the Almighty. Didn't work. God is not just barely bigger than the devil. There is a Satan. There is an evil being. He's got evil spirits that have sided with him, but they are nothing compared to the Almighty, to his spirit, and to his children.
Amen.
Nothing. Don't give in to the ideas. Don't make evil big. Don't make, because people get off into the ditch with this stuff. Ooh, this, I just read something about a bunch of witches, you know, they're casting a curse on our president and stuff. You need to know that that's real. There are witches, okay? There is evil. But Christians get weird and scared about stuff. Ooh, you know, if somebody they might cast a curse on you. The Bible says the curse causeless will not alight. That means if somebody curses you, you're under the protection of Almighty, nothing's going to happen.
Amen.
You know how it has strength? When you fear it. And people do fear this stuff. Mm-hmm. You're playing right into the hand of it. It's nothing. Evil is not a match for God.
Hallelujah.
It's not even in the same class.
Right.
And people start glorifying this stuff and go, oh, you know, the spiritual, you got to watch out. Here's what you need to know about evil spirits. You have authority over them.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
You don't need to get into a bunch of junk. Know every little thing. This is what Jesus dealt with them. Shut up and come out. Say, that's too easy. No, that's the way Jesus did it. If you're the Almighty, if you're a child of the Almighty, you don't need to get into a bunch of stuff. You just need to say, stop what you're doing and leave.
Amen.
Don't yield yourself to evil stuff. There's stuff, people talking, it's always the case. But you know, there's movies coming out recently that are evil. They're inspired by death. Don't watch the trailers. You're foolish if you watch that junk and get that stuff in you. I would not. Don't look at it. You don't want to get to have those images and the fear. Fear is devilish. It's from the enemy. Why would you want any fear? Well, I'm not going to watch the movie. I'm just going to watch the trailer. You don't want any of it.
That's right.
You know how hard it is to get images out of your head?
Yeah.
Don't play with that junk. It's an inroads. Like I said, Satan's not strong, but he's clever. He knows he can't take out God head on, and he can't take a child of God out head on. But he can wiggle on the side, and people are foolish, unfortunately, giving him a foothold. We're still talking about victory. God, his spirit is the spirit of victory. He never cowers. He never says, ooh, what are we going to do now? Ooh, that's scary. That's not God. God is not scared of anything.
That's right.
There is. He has no equal.
That's right.
No one. No one in the whole universe can take him.
Amen.
Huh? We understand we're his children. And so fear has no place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says he always leads us in victory. Gives us 15:57, 1 Corinthians, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4. Look at that. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's word.
Amen.
is true. Our faith in His Word is what's going to take us over. Now, I want to keep moving here. We're going to look at some scriptures we looked at last time. Matthew 7, I still want to look at that just in context as we're going forward. But then these other ones we looked at last time. So Matthew 7, verse 24, look at this on your sheet. It says, therefore, whoever hears, this is Jesus, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. We talked about this. This gives us an illustration of two people. One who received the words of God, did them in the midst of a storm, and the house stood. He said, I liken this person who does the word as to a house built on the rock. The storm came, blew, beat on the house. It stood because it was founded on the rock. Then it gives illustration of another person who did not do what God would tell him to do. And it said, Jesus said, I liken that to a person who built their house on a sand. Same storm came. We show that the language is exactly the same. And the house fell. And we talked about that a few times. There are going to be storms that come. There are challenges in the world. And go back and listen to those messages. We talked about it the first one. Some the second, and last week, and we went through scriptures. Go through the scriptures. There, some people get the idea that once you know the word of faith, once you know the Bible, nothing ever, you will never have a challenge. That's not true. Now, we're not calling evil on you and saying, well, you just have to watch out, something's going to happen. No, we're saying we live in a cursed world. There is a curse on the world. That Satan is the god of this world. We'll get into this later. He will challenge. The Bible says, he goes around about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, meaning he can't devour everybody. What arms you against it is what we're talking about now, knowing the word. But there are challenges. You don't have to be afraid of evil. You don't have to be afraid of challenges. What you need to know is that you always have the victory in the midst of a challenge, that God will be with us in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble. He didn't send it. He's not sending it to somehow work something out. If troubles work things out of people, like some people say, you know, God's just sending this to work something out of you. If that were the case, then there's all kinds of people in the world that should be just completely mature and perfect because they've had tons of problems and tons of trials. Did you hear me?
Yes.
That's not true. Trials don't grow you up. It's how you respond to stuff in the midst. You need to know who you are. They're not sent by God. They're here, but we can go through them and overcome if we'll look to Him. Just like this person that had his house built on the rock. Now let's read a few scriptures here that we read through last week. So we talked about there are storms. They will come. And if you have a problem with that, go back and listen to the previous messages. But verse 23, a couple more scriptures along that line as we go forward. The Lord, we read these. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the Lord, in the house of the Lord forever. We touched on this. Notice verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But notice, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. You could have some stuff happening. That's not like the place that you want to spend your vacation. You know, go on one of these travel websites. There's not one that says, hey, come to the valley of the shadow of death. It's awesome. Book 3 weeks here. discounted flights. I don't know if they have hotels there or not, but you know, you get cast, you put up a tent, make a campfire. It's awesome. No, nobody wants to go there. You certainly don't want to live there. You don't even want to go there for a little bit. But notice, he's saying, the psalmist is saying, David is saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I still won't fear. But notice he's going through stuff, and we touched on that. Psalm 34, verse 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So you have challenges, even being righteous. God's not sending them. You know, if you're going after Him, He's not your problem. But there is junk you have to deal with, and now we need to have the right mindset when stuff comes. Let's go ahead and go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians. We ended up here last time. 2 Corinthians. We're going to pick up. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Everybody there? Of course, it's on your sheet. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It said, now this is Paul writing this. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. There's a song about that. Remember in the, late 90s, early 2000, just basically took this into a song. It was a good song. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also, or also may be manifested in our body, for we are who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, verse 8, it said, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Look on your sheet there, John 16:33. Just look on your sheet, don't take time to turn there. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation up until the point where you've heard the word of faith or you've heard what God has done, and then it'll all disappear for you. Is that what it says?
No.
You will have tribulation. Is that unclear?
Clear.
This is Jesus speaking. He said, you're going to have it. Now, that word tribulation, that's translated tribulation, it means this. It means pressure. It means oppression. It means stress. It means anguish. It means tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. That's what when he says you'll have tribulation, this is what he means. You're going to face every person. I don't need a show of hands because I know everybody has faced some. Jesus said you would. That mean your faith is weak? No. We find out about your faith in the middle of it. You don't have to have faith or lack of faith. Stuff is going to come to everybody. We're going to find out about faith in the middle of it, how you react. That's what we're talking about. So we build our faith so that we have it in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the tribulation. Because whether or not you're going to face some, it's a foregone conclusion. We already read multiple scriptures before. Here we see Jesus saying this. You hear Paul talking about he's hard-pressed on every side. Well, you can see this word means. I'm going to read it again. This word, tribulation, means pressure. Anybody ever felt any pressure? You don't have to raise your hand. Oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, tribulation, affliction, crushing. Anybody ever felt like something was crushing you, trying to crush you? Squashing, squeezing, distress. Now, this is what you could feel, okay? But Jesus said, in the world, you will have these things. You will have tribulation. But he also said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, look at 2 Corinthians 4:7, where we just were again. It says, we are hard. This is Paul the apostle that taught us a lot about faith. This is what he's saying. Do you think he knows a thing or two about walking in victory? Who's the one that just wrote, if you don't know, you know, the text that we read, who always causes us to triumph? That's Paul writing that. You think he knows anything about walking in victory? Well, sure he does. He went through all kinds of stuff. And he still is like the Energizer Bunny. He just kept going up and getting up and going. But this is what he's saying. This isn't a bad confession. Listen to what he says. He said, we're hard pressed on every side. Well, Jesus said you would be pressed. But he said, we're not crushed. Now, you might feel like something's crushing you, but that's a difference. There's a difference between you feeling like you're being crushed and you being crushed. Stuff might push in, but it's not going to take you out. That's the difference. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. So we haven't given up and say, well, there's just no. Despair means you're hopeless. Just because you don't understand everything. Well, the Bible says we look through as through a glass darkly. There's going to be some stuff. Maybe you thought it was going to come out different. Well, you don't know everything. You might have got a sense that you thought something was going to happen differently. But you find out what you believe when it doesn't go exactly like you thought. Do you just throw up your hands and say, well, I don't know what's going to go on now. I thought this was going to happen and this is wrong. Or do you press into God and say, still, I'll go over. Verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken. See, might be pushed for certain things, but Paul knows we're not forsaken. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Or the word says that in Hebrews. Struck down but not destroyed. I might get pushed. I might have taken a misstep. Something might knock me down, but I get up. So this is the image. But look back at John, and this is where I want to go today. He says, Jesus says, in the world, John 16:33, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We need to know God's view toward us in our relationship to us. Now, we're going to get into, I believe, some more things, not today so much, but you see the undercurrent through all this. We have victory. God has given us the victory. He always causes us to triumph. But you need to know some things, and we're laying a foundation. We've laid some foundation. We're going to go a little bit further here. We need to know that we can come through. But if you just tried to jump through, if you don't know certain things in the Word, if you think that always triumphing means you're never going to have a problem, you're going to fall flat on your face as soon as you have a challenge. So we spend some time there. There is going to be challenge. There are going to be challenges. We spend some time there. Because some people just jump right to the end. They say, oh, I got the victory. And they get knocked around because they don't have any substance, any foundation. And there's questions, and they're thinking God's sending the problem, and they're not thinking they're supposed to have it. So they just get knocked silly. They make start well thinking they believe, well, I believe God's always going to bring me through, but they don't have a root. They don't really understand. They think that means they won't have any problems, and then they're surprised if they do, and then they're mad at God. Well, that's not going to get you very far. That's why we spend some time there. We'll get to more of the standing and what you do, but you got to have some stuff underneath that. You don't just jump to standing if you're not standing on the right thing. If you're trying to stand, but you really think God's your problem, it's not going to work very well. Because you got one eye here, but in the back of your mind, you're just not sure. You don't have the strength really to stand. Now, don't misunderstand me. The word will work. You take the word and act on it, but it's these other things that will undermine you standing. Been around long enough to see it. Christians will quote and talk a good talk. I've been around this my whole life with, you know, grew up in the charismatic movement. People will come, put on a game face, but inside they're trembling. I'm not saying you wouldn't have symptoms of fear, but this is not a game. This is not you trying to make the people at church think that you're a faith person. But in really, inside, you don't know if God really, you know, is working something out and sending this or not. You don't know if God really does have good things for you. You've heard it. You don't really know it. That will undermine. It's not what you say to other people that's going to get you through. It won't. You can fool everybody around you. But if in your bedroom you go back and are constantly crying and don't know what you're going to do, that is the result you're going to get. You're not, it's what is really going on between you and God, because Satan is not messing around. He's no match for God, but he knows how to mess with people. He knows how to mess with your intellect. He knows how to try to get you to doubt. And the remedy for doubting is to know the word and to come back at him with the word. You need to have a foundation. You can come back and say, no, it says this. The Bible says this. God is this to me. So we're going to talk a little bit about here. You know, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I mean, we may go back to that verse at some point. He said, I've overcome the world. Well, what is God to you? What is your relationship to God, and how does he view you? We need to know this. Because this isn't for other people. Well, you know, if you're one of those real super faith, you know, people, then, well, this will work, but me, I just don't. That undermines your faith right there. So you get in a challenge. You may say, okay, here's the comes a challenge, but I'm not up to it. Because, you know, he has plans for so-and-so, and he's doing stuff in their life, but me, I don't know. Well, that will undermine your ability to stand in the storm and do his word. You'll get swept away if you don't know what the word says. But you get strong there. You get solid in who your father is and who he is to you and what he thinks about you. You'll have some ammo to come back with.
Hallelujah.
Okay? We're going to spend a little bit of time here. God is a good God. That right there will get you through storms. He's a good God. And he has good plans for you. Praise God. Let's look on your sheet. We're going to turn to a few of these, but I'm trying to discern what we need to turn to and what we can look at. Let's look at 2 Peter on your sheet there. 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He's patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, he is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that anybody goes down. Now, he's talking about specifically, He does not willing that anybody go to hell. But you know what? God is not sending people to hell. People are choosing not to receive him. And then they get the same penalty as the devil and his angels who are rebellious. It's not God doing it. It says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he is not willing that anything in your life perish. It is never his will that something perishes in your life. I mean, that's good, right? Bad habits, yeah, they can perish. But those are destructive. What we're saying here is that anything that is death, destruction in your life, God has no, he has no, is never his will that happen. Never. Never. Turn over to James 1:17. I don't have this on your sheet, so we'll just turn there. James 1:17, you know, near the end of the New Testament, you find Hebrews. James is right after Hebrews. James 1:17. Actually, we'll look at 1:16 and then 17. Praise God. You're believing with me, right? You're receiving, because we need to get the right things out this morning. There's just so much here. We need to get it out in the right way. James 1:17 or 1:16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Verse 16 says, do not be deceived. Don't be mistaken, brethren. Every good gift. Why would he say, do not be deceived, if people weren't deceived about it? You know, a lot of people are deceived about this. You know, it's not complicated with God. If we walk out of here with some basic truths about him, remember, we're talking about having victory. We're talking about stuff may come, but how do we look at it? This is a big plank, rock, whatever, you know, boulder in our foundation. We need to know some things about God, and then we can't let circumstance push us off. He says, do not be deceived, brethren. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He does not change. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is always the same. He does not change. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from our Lord God. That means if it's destruction, that means if it's death, if it's destroying, if it's bringing evil, it's not from him. Did you hear me? People are confused about this. Because religion has taught a lot of people, God may be in it. He may be teaching you something, just bear it. That's a lie. That's not true. It's a misunderstanding of scriptures. There are different places in the Bible where certain things are happening, and people do not rightly divide the word, and they don't interpret the old in light of the new, and they get messed up ideas, and then they start attributing atrocities to God. Like these hurricanes. I just read somebody saying this is from God. It's not from God. Amen. It's a cursed world. Amen. You think they had hurricanes in the Garden of Eden? Far from it. No, this earth is under a curse. There is a God of this world, and the Bible calls Satan the God of this world. It's under lease right now. We're not under a curse because we've been redeemed from the curse, if we believed on God. But the world is. And the Bible says the earth is bearing up under the weight of sin. It's groaning. This earth is going to be burned up. There's no question there. People, Mickey Mouse, in a lot of ways, they're talking about it happening. But you don't. You just read the back of the book. The earth is going to go away, and it's going to be replaced with a new one.
Amen.
Yeah, this stuff that's going, it's not God. Killing people, destroying homes. But you know, you don't have to look very far. All kinds of Christians believe this. Well, if you're in the middle of a storm, literally, and you don't know if it's from God or not, how do you resist it? You just do your best to survive. See, if you don't have it strong in your heart that God is for you, that He is not the author of destruction, that every good gift and every perfect gift come from Him, not destruction is not coming from Him. I don't care what form the destruction comes in. People talk about a blessing in disguise. It does not exist. God does not need to hide blessings. He's not covert. Well, I'll just sneak this in, you know. I'm really trying to help you. Now, we're not talking about, yes, God will help you grow and He'll help you mature, but He does not use destruction to do it.
Amen.
You don't need to break your kid's arm to teach him a lesson.
That's right.
In fact, you'd be in jail. God does not send hurricanes to teach people a lesson.
Amen.
That's ignorance.
Amen.
And it is blasphemy.
Amen.
He's not, that's attributing something to God that He did not do. Think about it. Murder. What if somebody told you, yeah, you know, they're nice and I like them sometimes, but they just murdered and destroyed a bunch of homes. What would that, how would that go over? Would you say, oh, that's okay? It's not right. I'm not saying people don't have good hearts, but they're ignorant of the word. And I'm not belittling people. You know, we don't understand everything. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we are just further, but we have to come back to the word. And if we see for our lives something that contradicts the word, we have to change to line up with the word. Okay, so understand me. I have blind spots and you do too. And if you think that's a bad confession, I'm sorry. You don't understand like God understands. I don't either. But you know what? Where the light of the word has shown up, we can act on it. We don't have to say, well, just because so-and-so says this or we were taught this does not mean we stay in the dark when the light comes. Okay? There's going to be places that we don't see. Well, when we do see, let's get out of the dark and be into the light. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's a good God.
Amen.
He has good things. He's good.
Amen.
I said He's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn over to Psalm 107. Quickly. It's on your sheet too, but I'm going to hit a couple psalms, so let's just turn back and then we'll turn to the next one. Psalm 107. This is all over the place in the Psalms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 107, verse 1, says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good.
Yes.
He's good.
Yes.
He's good.
Good.
Is destruction good?
No.
Huh?
No.
Is this hard?
No.
He's good.
He's good.
All good gifts, all perfect gifts come down from Him. Now, all you have to do, a three-year-old can understand this, and they do. This is what we teach them. You get set right as a 2, 3, 4-year-old, you hear about the goodness of God, don't have to unlearn this junk, you are well ahead of the curve.
Amen.
Because people have been taught, you know, I know this is really bad, but actually it's good because God's trying to help you. That's confusing. You need help to think like that because a child does not, wait a minute, I thought He was good. Why would He do this bad thing to me? Well, you know, he's trying to help you. I mean, A child would have a hard time with this. And a lot of adults have a hard time with this because they've had help, centuries of help, installing religious doctrine that does not line up with the Word of God. And then you get something going on in your life that's a storm. People are confused. They don't stand against it because they don't know if God is really there to help them. Maybe he's kind of going through the side door. Maybe this is one of those blessings in disguise. Maybe they just aren't qualified. They're not just go as good as super faith man over here. And so they don't know what to do. Well, when the winds are blowing, it's not the time to try to figure out what you believe. I'm not saying God is not merciful. He'll help you. But you want to understand and be steadfast and go, this is bad. This is not from God, and I will overcome. But you don't just jump to I will overcome if you have doubts about whether it's God. Or that you don't know. You may say, yeah, it's not God. I just don't know, though, if he's really got my back. He got so-and-so's back, it's obvious. Well, that's a lie, too. He doesn't show any favoritism.
That's right.
Anybody that's feet, if you got have thoughts, well, you know, it worked for so-and-so, but not you, that's not from God. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. In other words, you do his word and trust him, you'll get the same results as anybody else trusting him. That's the differentiator. But when if it's all up to God, people go, well, just, you know, you're not helping me. Well, then now it's God's fault. So people are confused. But it's really not that hard. You know, we were just talking about it. I don't want to go off on a tangent. But people in the world complicate, and we do, we complicate things so much further than they have to be. Well, we just really need a complex solution to this. Well, no. If you cut through all the junk, it's really here. This is the problem. And it always has to do with lining up with the Word of God. But you know what? There's a lot of rebellious humans on this earth. And if the answer is do the Word of God, that's not in their book. Not going to do that. Oh, well, so it's really complex. Well, it is complex. You take God out of the equation. Take God out of a marriage. It's really complicated. You don't understand. No, the Bible's pretty straightforward, and it's not that hard. I'm not saying it's not work. But we don't have to overcomplicate things. We get into trouble. Satan likes to complicate stuff. Because if there's a lot of details, and he'll ask you questions, what about this, 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 and he'll have you turning around in circles. And he's good at it. You think you're going to go toe-to-toe with him in an argument? You're wrong. If it's an intellectual argument. But you hold him to the word. And you may not understand everything, but you quote the word, you will defeat him every time. He can't deal with the word, and he knows that. That's why he tries to get you off the word over on a tangent. Get you into the intellectual realm where he can get you in circles and destroy you. He'll have you on flat on your back in no time flat. You get off the word. Any one of us. The Bible says to have faith like a child. If you have faith like a child. Well, you don't have to know all kinds of stuff as a child. But if you know good from bad, wait a minute. This is not good. This is bad. This is the work of the enemy. This is the work of the world. This is destruction. This isn't God. God is good. So this is good. This thing bad that came, I'm gonna overcome it because God's good and he's on my side. God's good, Satan is bad, the things of the world that slant toward him are bad, and if it comes bad in my life, it's got to go. People say, oh, that's simplistic. It's Bible. Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what?
Good
on the odd days. Even days, you just don't know what you're going to get. If it's sunny outside, it's a good day. God's good, but it's raining. Woo! All bets are off. Spin the roulette wheel. We'll see what we get. No, he's good. And he doesn't change. See, people quote that. God is good all the time and all the time. He's good. But you know what? That's a good phrase, but you got to know that. And you know when you know it? It's not in church. It's not here. You need to say that. It's when it looks like something is going on that would say, well, if God's so good, what about this? Ask yourself, where did that question come from? Who said that? Whenever you hear something ring in your head, say, who said that? Because that's not from God. Well, if God's so good, what's this going on? See, that goes back to the fact that you think nothing should ever come into your life, if that's the thought, that's what we dealt with that. You think something happened and you're just so exempt. No, the storm came to both. So you need to know, okay, a storm's here. Well, maybe it's God. Okay, that's what we're dealing with now. Would God send destruction into your life? Not if you're on his side. There is a judgment, and there are examples of that. Ananias and Sapphira. It's in Corinthians, delivered the man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so his spirit could be saved. If you try to blind yourself to that and act like that's not there, you'll be confused. But notice this. Herod died. Mm-hmm. It was eaten by worms. Notice this. These people opposed God. Okay? They're not going down doing everything they can. I mean, lied to the Holy Spirit. That's not smart. You're not talking about people that were going along and that's, you know, there's a lot of going on in the new the church, and there was the Spirit of God was moving there. But ask yourself, there's a lot of people that believe you're just doing the best you can going and then you're just going to get knocked in the head. That's not God. If you go and do what you know to do, you can expect good. Now, let's look at a few things. I'm not dealing with some of the other stuff, but you got to understand this. It's simple. Psalm 145, turn there. And we'll just say this. The wages of sin is death, it says in Romans. So we don't want to get, we're not getting into this today, but we need to understand that what we do matters. Okay? We're not teaching here everything, and I'll maybe read this in a minute with Romans. It's not that everything is going to always work out for everybody's good, and you can go live over here and yield to the enemy, the one that's trying to destroy you, and escape. It's not coming from God. Brothers and sisters, we need to know that what we do and how we behave matters, and it is not as popular in 2017 because there's been a lot of teaching that it really doesn't matter because God's a God of grace, and I thank God for his grace. But you don't mess with the evil one. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so if we think all the good stuff of God is going to come, but we're messing with all this junk, we are deceived. Boy, did that hit somebody crosswise? What we're not saying, because it's the truth, and these scriptures we're reading, we need to go after him and understand that what we do matters. And if we need to check our heart in what we're doing. God is not our problem. Satan is. And he will take advantage if you're going to yield to him and listen to him. We are on ground where God is not doing the things, but we've yielded to Satan, and he will come to destroy. That's not my focus, but we need to understand that. People have given the impression that it just, you know, God's good, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, if that's just not true. Because if that were the case, nobody has to get saved. Nobody has to turn toward him. It's just all going to work out for everybody. That's not what the Bible teaches. But if you have a heart after him and you're going after him and you do walk after him, he is good. That's why we want to stay so close to him. Hallelujah. I can tell that's not going over real big. We'll keep just churning out the scriptures. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Hallelujah. He is a good and merciful God. He's gracious and he's full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Look on your sheet there. Praise his holy name. Glory to God. He is good.
Yes.
We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear if we'll stay close to him. Have a desire to serve him. Do his work. He is merciful and good, and he will help you get on the right track. We don't want to mess with any of the enemy's junk. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. Everybody say, I'm his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you realize God has prepared for us a good path?
Yes.
He's prepared a good path. Let me ask you a question. Does everybody have to walk on that good path?
No.
They don't. And they make decision not to. But he's prepared it good. Think back. The scripture we read in Matthew with the two storms. Notice the one person that listened to the word and did it stood. Same storm, the other person that didn't listen to it fell. We have a choice, but God's will, we read, it's not his will that any should perish. It's his will that everybody stand. That everybody go that way. That everybody have good. I want to be on that side. Do you?
Yes.
Look at Jeremiah 29:11. The very familiar verse of scripture. To some, I mean, it's been used a lot. It's in greeting cards and all kinds of things. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Look at it in the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope and a future. Is it God's plan that we experience good?
Yes,
it is. It always is. It doesn't matter what it looks like, it's his plan that we experience good. It says plans to prosper you, not to harm you. If there's something blowing, a storm blowing, what we need to say is, I'm going to come through this. God's plans, it's not to harm me. In other words, God is not bringing this to harm me. God is not bringing it. I'm going to come through it. We need to know. We need to be on a solid foundation. Look at Psalm 32, verse 8. We read this. I mean, I read it to you. I didn't have it in the scripture sheet a few weeks ago, but we touched on this. Psalm 32, verse 8, New Living Translation says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. He said, I'll advise you on the best pathway for your life. So you're going, there may be some bumps, but it's, if you look at it, there may be some tough places, but God, in spite of the junk that's in the world, he is bringing you on the best pathway. Stuff may come up. He's not bringing it, but stuff's there. But if it's the best pathway, you're going to come over it. If you believe it. If you believe that, God, if I look to you, I will succeed. Because you bring me, you always cause me to triumph. You always lead me in victory. So we need to have that strong in us. We're not talking about rebellion. That's another thing, and that's what I was referring to earlier, and we will deal with that potentially later. I don't know if we'll get in this series, but this is what I want you to focus on. See, Satan will kind of bring stuff to you, and he's bringing stuff to you that deals with people that are opposed to him. That's not, if you look at all these scriptures, when you have a heart after God and you're going after him, it is good. And for everybody, he has plans of good. It's just that not everybody listens to him. And if you decide you're going to reject what he's saying and go over here, the Bible does not promise you that everything's just going to work out rosy. That's a lie. But don't focus on that. You don't want to be one of those people, do you? I don't want to be one of those people. So let's get right back and say, God, I'm going to stay so close to you. If you stop, I'm going to bump into you. I'm just right up there. Wherever you're going, I'm just there. I want to be near you. And you have, wherever you're going, it's good. So if you're with me and you're walking through something and it comes and it's bad, guess what? You're with me and you're taking me on a good path. So I'm going to stay with you and I'm coming out on the other side. That's what we need to focus on. And stay as far away from any junk that would pull us away as possible. Don't mess with it. Don't see how close you can get to it and still it work, you know? I'm just going to see. Well, I'll just take a little look at it. Well, it might hook you. You don't want to just take a little look. Because there might be another look. And that you don't want Satan to get a hook in your flesh to start pulling you around. You know why? Because then he'll try to pull you by those things over here. And this is destruction. God's got good plans. He's saying, son, daughter, I want you over here, but you're going this way and you don't want to yield to it. The wages of sin, they're death. You can't get around that. So what should we be saying? I don't want anything to do with anything that's going to lead me to death, because I know my Father, his plan for me is good. He ordained for me to do good works. He wants me to excel. He wants me to triumph. I'm not giving any foothold to this murderous creature called Satan to get me off. I don't want anything to do with it, because I know he wants me in the right place. Jesus, my God, wants me in a good place, because he's a good, good God. Hallelujah. Quickly, Psalm 139. On your sheet. It says, for you formed me, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. That means all the stuff that God wants you to do, they're written. He's already ordained, and we already established he's good. They're not bad things. He's not saying, well, it's going to go good until I bring this and destroy them. That's not his plan. That's not his plan. So if something raises its head, what you can say is, this is not ending bad. I'm coming over this because I know God set a good plan for me. I know he has good things for me. I'm coming over. All right, let's close with this. Romans 8:28. Just look on your sheet. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for what?
Good.
To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now we could spend a lot of time here. What I want you to get out of this, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say it's going to happen for everybody. Do you notice that? See, people just say, well, everything's working out for good. That's not true. You can just look around and see it's not true. But if we're his children, if we're going after him, that's why it's important. I want to stay close to you, God. I'm going to go after, I'm going to make sure nothing is going to bring me off. I want to be right with you. Right where you want me, because I know your plans are good. You've already ordained what I should be walking at. You've created me for good works. Every good and perfect gift comes down from you. So I'm going to stay close, and I know no matter what comes at me, if I'm in this category, it's going to work out for good. Did you hear me?
Yes.
In the middle of a challenge, I'm coming over this, and I'm going to be stronger when I get through. Amen.
Amen.
God is a good God. He is amazing in mercy, in grace. He has good plans for us. We just get it settled right down in here. That's the truth. He's a good God. He's already planned out what he's going to do, and he wants me to be in victory. So regardless of what may rise, I'm going to have that. I'm not going to start questioning him. I'm going to say, oh, no, I already know. You take these scriptures, look at them, and say, oh, no, God is on my side. It says that in a different place. He wants me to be victorious. He's good. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand to your feet, please.